This is the International Wings of Healing broadcast. You are now welcome to a time of edification, encouragement, and hope, and to announce the victory of God that will strengthen us in the face of our fragmented world and the ever-mounting challenge of our age. This ministry comes to you under the direction of Dr. Thomas Randolph Wyatt. We can become very secure in what we think we know. It is then Jesus will surprise us. You really should hear this.
Thank you, Dennis. I do pray you will stay with us as Sharon now reads from the 25th chapter of Matthew, and how we also are to learn that we are to be ready.
For it will be as when a man going on a journey called his servants and entrusted them to his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here, I have made 5 talents more. The master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also, who had the 2 talents, came forward, saying, Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more. The master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received 1 talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you do not winnow. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant! You say I reap where I have not sowed, and gather where I have not winnowed? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was mine with interest. So take the talent from him, and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, but from him who has not, even what he has shall be taken away. Cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth.
Thank you, Sharon. I know we've strayed from the readings, but I've wanted to complete our journey through this portion of Matthew. Once we heard the warnings of Jesus and what were God's judgment on Jerusalem, we need to look at just how Jesus will present his return to his own and how he will judge the nations. Sharon has read but one of the parables of our Lord concerning this. But we must briefly touch on those parables he has told to build up to this particular one, what is called the parable of the talents. The talent was a measurement of weight, exactly what we no longer know, but it was usually of gold or silver, or we must estimate, a very large sum of money. And the vast amount given is important to this parable. Whereas the pounds given to the 10 servants in our Lord's parable related in Luke is but perhaps 2 or 3 months' wages, where here a talent would be closer to 20 years' salary. This parable we have here in Matthew is part of the answer to the second part of the question the disciples have addressed to Jesus here on the Mount of Olives. As the disciples have admired the magnificent temple and its precinct, they have been told, "Not one stone will be left upon another." This has, of course, piqued their interest, and he is asked, "Tell us when this will be, and what will be the signs of your coming and the close of the age." The first question, the destruction of the temple, is answered, that it will be within that generation. And indeed, the temple and city would be destroyed within 40 years. As for the second question, Jesus will but state, "But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son." It will be as in the days of Noah, judgment coming suddenly, and one must be ready, for he is coming at an hour no one expects. He then follows with three parables of a householder who is unprepared for a thief who will break in, of servants left in charge of the household, one wise who does what is expected and rewarded, and a foolish servant who sees the master as delayed and mistreats his fellow servants and is punished. Then there is the much-loved parable of the 10 maidens, 5 who are ready and 5 foolish who are not. All 3 speak of delays, of waiting. The emphasis is on being prepared, ready for the unexpected thief or the return of the master or bridegroom. The parousia of our Lord, his appearing, is to be unexpected and unpredictable. There will be no unearthly signs. Thus the final parousia, the great judgment, cannot be calculated or foreseen. Here we are taught just to be ready. We will find a demand here for an acceptable lifestyle, not an encouragement to calculate some imagined time of Christ's parousia. That day will come like a thief. This is about what being prepared really means. This is also not about just any domestic effort. But this parable is about truly high finance. A talent represents a lot of money, and here it is part of the point. It represents a great deal of authority, responsibility, and it is given to each as an honor and with great expectation. Each one is expected to make the most of the opportunity they have been given. Too often the meaning of this parable is hung on the metaphorical meaning of talent and how each man uses their own talent. But the master has given to each of his servants of his property, each according to their ability. He knows each and what they are capable of. Jesus states in each parable of there being delays, of a long time of waiting, but still of being prepared, which should cause us pause and at least hesitate a bit before we start asserting that our Lord must come soon, or it can't get much worse. All the signs are there, and we say he must come soon any day. I have heard such remarks all my life. My father was so wrapped up in such thoughts that he delayed any idea of marriage until he was past 30 and decided, well, if the Lord hasn't come yet, maybe I could have a family before he comes. Well, my father is gone. My mother as well is with the Lord. And I have grandchildren. We are to be ready. But as this parable is telling us, you are in the world, so be busy at life. We are to do what we can. Life is out there, so be engaged. The first servant is a model for enthusiastic discipleship. He who receiveth the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. At once he went to work with what he had, and how he did it, is not important to the parable's purpose. He went at once and traded and made 5 more talents. Nice work. How he did it would be nice to know, but as I said, this is a parable, a lesson in story form. This is not real life. Here we are to understand that we are to maximize our opportunities. It is not about wishing, happy thoughts, even praying about it, but taking risk, going about what we are able to do, no matter what it may be. It is about being ready, even eager, to be about the master's business. The second servant, he had been given 2 talents and went and made 2 talents more. The third man is given 1 talent, but he digs a hole and hides his master's money. Our Lord then seems to emphasize that after a long time, the master of these slaves returns, comes to settle accounts with them. Again, Jesus is to the point. This is about what each of the slaves has done. There is no welcome, no time to appraise his home and property. This is about settling his accounts with these 3 men. The first 2 are rewarded with almost identical words. And despite being given different amounts, and the master's commendations are the same, with both, despite one seeming more gifted, both have been trustworthy. It is reminiscent of the parable of the vineyard owner, who goes into town, hires workmen throughout the day at different times. All work faithfully, but the owner pays each the same, regardless of how long they actually worked. It is our Lord's remarkable means of highlighting that our Heavenly Father is interested in faithfulness, trustworthiness, of doing our best at whatever we are asked to do. Here, however, we learn something unexpected, but it should not be surprising. The reward for their good work is not time off, or even to be set free from possible slavery, or released from additional work. Instead, they are given more work. As one teacher has remarked, you don't retire from being a disciple. As the master states to those 2, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over little. I will set you over much, or over many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Imagine if the master considers 5 talents a little thing, what must then his statement, "over much," imply? The thought should at least intrigue us. For the implication is that the servant's faithfulness over what is here a great deal of money, then just what is Jesus implying in this parable that a disciple's faithfulness in what our Lord asks us to do will mean even more in the kingdom to come? To enter the joy of our master must mean something more than idle existence, playing harps and walking on gold streets. It seems to be a change of status, a significant new relationship in this new age, this life of dwelling in his very presence. Could we be reading too much into this simple statement to imagine that the kingdom of heaven, of life in his presence, is not some pleasant time of idleness, dwelling in indescribable beauty, but instead in active, challenging, exciting partnership in the very purposes and plan of God for this vast, unending universe? This makes the action of this last servant that much more significant. Clearly, he has a different view of his master and feels, since he will not get any significant benefit from any effort on his part, why work? He describes the master as hard. His own words are used against him. At least the bankers would have provided at least interest. And given since he was gone a long time, at least it would mean something. His mistake is not that he did something wrong. It is that he did nothing. He took no chances, and taking chances is at the heart of being a disciple. To attempt nothing is to achieve nothing. It has always been a true axiom of pastoring that if you want something done in the church, ask one of the busy members. As pastor, you have to be careful. The real effort is to get those on the edge involved into doing something. And when they find they can, they will usually be open to doing more. It is a truism of discipleship. Be faithful in small things, and larger, more important things will be given you. Nothing is more important than to be faithful when given a small thing to do. Don't look down your nose at it, but do it with energy, sincerity, and faithfulness. It will be noticed. Too many want to start with those things that will be noticed. Do whatever others, and yes, our Lord, ask you to do. This last servant was as well unwilling. Our God is not unreasonable or exploitive, but he asks us to serve, to trust him, and to be faithful in the little things. But he will not accept foolish and lame excuses. Here the saved talent is taken from this man and given to he who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more will be given, and those who do not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This speaks of God's rewards for our faithfulness. It is disproportionate. God to the faithful will give abundantly, pressed down, overflowing. Our success as disciples attract further reward. To do nothing is not an option, or should it be? Fear not. Just do what you feel comfortable with, what you feel equipped, able to do. Do it faithfully. Is it prayer? Is it giving, sharing with friends, strangers, testifying, even cleaning the church, helping with the nursery on Sunday, providing flowers or books? Whatever it is, do it faithfully. More will follow. As with the word I hope we all want to hear, welcome, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master. O Lord, do encourage us to at least try, to do at least the small things, the little things, for is it not our preparation so as to be given even greater things to do for you? For all we desire is to be faithful in all you put in our hands to do, for is it not all for your kingdom and for your glory? In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen.
The last parable in Matthew's Gospel, the parable of the talents, is one that should be very clear, for the message is unmistakable. As we should know, discipleship is a serious undertaking. It is what is meant by being a Christian. So this is the topic of Thomas's book, The Question of Discipleship. What is a disciple and what does it mean? This is an important study. So just write and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. We want you all to know just how much we appreciate all of our friends who support this ministry with your prayers and, yes, your kind gifts. And to those of you who are not yet a part of the Wings of Healing family, we pray that you would seriously consider supporting this ministry, which enables us to proclaim the wonderful Word of God throughout the world. Our addresses are Dr. Thomas R. Wyatt, Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to the Wings of Healing Society at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Now, before Dennis Colonna gives you those addresses one more time, here is your radio minister, Dr. Wyatt. Thomas?
Thank you, Sharon. As Advent season begins, I want to share Phyllis's thanksgiving for her daughter's great new job, for Jody, who is now restored to health, and George, whose doctor's report said everything was great. Our Lord is good. And if you desire prayer, please write. Dennis will provide our addresses once more. But Gina Garcia comes to sing another of my favorites, Just As I Am. And until next week, go about your life as your Lord desires. Just be ready.
This program is sponsored by the Wings of Healing International Ministries, a ministry dedicated to the proclamation of the gospel, done with reason, clarity, and without sectarian confusion. As always, CDs of these programs are available. And this week, Dr. Wyatt is offering his very timely study titled, The Question of Discipleship. This is important for all believers, so do write and ask for The Question of Discipleship. It can be yours at no charge. Our addresses are Post Office Box 900, Whittier, California, 90608. Our Canadian friends may write to Dr. Wyatt at Post Office Box 34224, Vancouver, British Columbia, postal code V6H4N1. Or you may contact the ministry at www.thomasrwyatt.org. This is Dennis Colonna asking you to please tune in again next week at the same time. And remember what God has promised to those who love Him.